Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 4:07 Monday out here at Big Al's in Beaverton for our Civil War mixer. Duck and Beaver fans uniting.
It's happening. The mixing has begun.
Must be 21. Here comes a guy on a scooter.
Yeah.
That I like.
Well, he doesn't even appear to need it. He put his foot down. He's not even wearing a boot.
One of those where he's got like a bad ankle or something.
Yeah, but most of the time you get the scooter, that's like a torn Achilles or something. He's wearing normal shoes. Look at that's not scooter worthy.
Calling him out.
I am calling him out.
Now, is that a duck or a beaver?
I don't know. But I'm calling him out that injury does not appear to be scooter worthy right now. I think he's milking it. Looking for some sympathy.
Well, we'll be out here all the way until, what, like 8 or 9 tonight because Ducks Roundtable is coming up after us.
Yes, Dirt and Anthony Newman will be roundtabling, although it's more of a rectangle table tonight. But they will be tabling here live at Big Al's in Beaverton. Come on by and join us. Tickets available at the door.
Yeah, you can swing over here. We're at
like $11.
What do they call this? The Crow's Nest, or what do they call this? The Caddy Shack.
The Caddy Shack. I can see it right there.
Yeah, Caddy Shack right up here.
And by the way, grass, poor caddying.
All the proceeds from tonight's event go to Oregon Food Bank.
Yes.
Who is represented here by a fine listener. So come on by, and we'll be here for quite some time, so you can grab some food, win some things. Yeah, he's walking just fine.
Yeah, you don't need a scooter.
You're not hurt, sir.
I'm calling you. You're still a little sore. A little sore doesn't mean a scooter. Have some pride.
I think his wife agrees.
Yeah, she knows. He doesn't need a scooter. She's ashamed.
Coming up in the club, hashtag him too, that we will discuss.
Oh, Lord.
And we have our – did you catch that all that?
No, but I'm terrified.
Yeah. Well, you probably should be.
Is this where, like, I, as a middle-aged white man, gets to complain about the world keeping me down?
You do, kind of. In a way. You do, in a way. Yes.
Finally, the rich white man has the upper hand.
So we'll get to that at 4:30. Stockwatch is coming up next. A little NFL here. We've got Rams, Chiefs tonight.
Yeah.
Which is going to be good.
It's going to be huge.
I was looking at their defenses. I was just curious.
Neither one of them are very good.
No, they really aren't. And we thought the Rams D would just be legit.
I can't figure it out. Like, you've got.
But they got a hell of a pass rush, though.
They do. They do rush the quarterback. But you've got three guys in Brockers, Sue, and Donald that were all good against the run. And yet they can't stop anyone from running the ball on
them. Do you think – okay, so I think that they're – well,
I'll look and see, but
in the NBA,
I think they're bottom third in run defense in the NFL.
No, I don't know run defense. I looked up total defense.
Yeah.
And the Rams are 20th.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are 29th.
Yeah.
In total defense.
But the Chiefs can rush the quarterback a little bit too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Marcus Peters, you know, he's now with the Rams. He's having a bad year.
Yeah, and Tlaib's been out.
Yeah, so it's just it could be, you know – 45-40, one of those games. And I'm telling you, we've talked about this before, but in college you have those games. It's like Big 12 football, no defense. Oh, it sucks. But when it happens in the NFL, it's not really bad defense as much as it is just damn good offense.
Yeah.
And it's really fun to watch.
And you do have two really good offenses. I mean, you throw New Orleans is right now appears to be the best team in football, but you may be looking at 2 and 3 here. And if you're talking, you know, offenses, again, same thing. You're talking about two of the best three offenses in the NFL. You just throw New Orleans in that mix. And these are such fun teams to watch and the way they go about things. And they're creative and they're fun and they can –
yeah, this is good
there's
stuff.
There's balance.
You can't get much better.
This is everything you could want.
No, right, exactly. But let me ask you this. Okay, so in the NBA, we know that players and teams coast.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, all the time.
A long season – you know, it's like part of the reason the Blazers are having some success is that, especially early in the year, teams don't want to chase around other teams that move the ball the way the Blazers do. Like, yeah. They just don't want to do it. Did you watch the Wizards game?
First place.
Yes.
Portland Trail Blazers?
Absolutely.
Yes, that was a ball movement clinic.
But, I mean, it's
but
just
the
like that league is just totally different when we get to March and February. Like,
yes.
Completely different, right?
Yes.
So then let's take another example. So there's a in the NBA there is a sort of an example of how players, you know, they coast, right?
Sure.
It can happen.
Sure.
College football. One of the big things coming out of Columbus right now is that Ohio State is so good. They are so talented that they have guys who are coasting because they're looking ahead to their NFL careers. Mm-hmm. And they're playing teams that they're way more talented than. And it's very hard to be focused and up and play your best every week, right? Like, that's a real thing.
Yes, and there's the thing with teams like Ohio State and Alabama. Look, people aren't going to want to hear it, but a lot of those guys in the field don't really care about what happens on Saturday.
That's right.
They're selfish.
They care about their stats.
They care about their stats, and they care about their draft grade because they know that the school is using them, and they're using the school in order to get
to the
NFL.
And when you have talent like Ohio State does, now that's not necessarily, say, you know, like an Oregon State can, you know, will have that dynamic, but an Ohio State does.
There's an element of that. Arguably the best player in college football decided that he could have played at the end of the year, could have been available maybe for a Michigan game or a Big Ten title game. And the best player in college football in Bosa decided, hey, you know what? I don't need a Rose Bowl. I don't need a national championship. I need to be the first pick in the NFL draft.
But is there then, so this is what I'm getting at with the Rams and their defense. That defense is so freaking talented. Is there an element? We never talk about this in the NFL, ever, because the NFL is so week to week, and it's like, you know, you got to put your ass on the line, or one, you're going to get killed or injured, and two, you're going to get cut.
Yeah, you're playing for your job
every
week.
You're playing, like, it is, the sense of urgency in the NFL is like no other, which is why I think it kind of helps buoy that league. It's why it's an interesting league, right?
Sure.
But is there an element of coasting when you're talking about a defense that good, that knows it's that good, with an offense that's that good, that knows that when push comes to shove, they're going to be in the playoffs? And look, I've watched them enough to see, dude, they are filthy good on defense, particularly in the pass rush when they have to be.
Yeah.
It's one of those deals where it's like, man, I know the Rams' defense is 20th, but it's a long season, and these guys know they're good. They know they're loaded at pretty much every position. They could be coasting and not playing, you know, their, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
saying. It's an interesting concept. I hadn't thought about that, but I can see where you're going, where you just feel like at a moment's notice you could flip a switch and we're going to be fine, and you don't have to be this dominant group because your offense is going to score so many points. I can see that. And the thing that I think I would like to see more if I was the Rams was I would like to – to me, that would be less of a problem if you showed extended stretches of dominant defense, right? And then there was lapses. That to me, but this has been pretty much a year-long thing where...
Well, the back end hasn't been good.
No, and you haven't been very good against the run, and you're 23rd against the run. And I think there may be an element to kind of what you're talking about where this defense only focuses on rushing the quarterback because everyone has to play from behind. Right? When the Rams score as many points as they do, the other team is forced to play from behind, and you know that you're going to end up in pass rushing situations. So I wonder if there's an element to what you're talking about is they're like, we don't need to really be good at stopping the run. Not a huge deal. Our offense is going to score plenty of points, and we know we can get after the quarterback, and we're going to be fine. But you're reaching to the point of the season now, and if the Saints game didn't wake you up, this one certainly will. You need to see the Rams and the Chiefs' defense start to play better on a consistent week-to-week basis.
Rams' rush defense.
Yeah, I think it's 23rd.
10th.
10th.
Well, it depends on what you're looking at. Are you looking at – this is based on average yards per attempt.
No, I was looking at total yards.
Total yards per game?
Total yards per game.
I'll flip that on.
And
here,
I was looking at – if I've got it right here, I've got Kansas City at 22, the Rams at 23.
No, you've got it wrong. According to –
no, right here. NFL opponent rushing yards per game.
They superimposed it. Okay, so 23rd, and then the Chiefs are one worse.
Yeah.
24th.
So, I mean, you're right. The teams that you're around there are the Jets, the Falcons, the Lions, and the Giants. I mean, that's not good company to be. It's not good company to be in.
Well,
but,
like I said, I'll bet on that defense come playoff time.
Well, and here's the thing that why if you're Kansas City or the Rams, that maybe the defensive thing doesn't freak you out quite as much. This would remind me a little bit of like the New Orleans defense or the Indy defense that won a Super Bowl. and that was you had high-powered offenses, and you were going to play with the lead. And when you play with the lead, you just need to be able to rush the quarterback. And both the Rams and the Chiefs can both rush the quarterback. The flip side to that is I think you have a more balanced defense in New Orleans. That's why I think New Orleans is the best team in the NFL. I think they are the most complete team because I think they have an offense to go head-to-head, but I think their defense is better than what we're seeing out of Kansas City and the Rams. But both of these teams, especially the Rams, are capable of putting this all together and winning a Super Bowl. Absolutely.
Well, all that said, it'll probably be a giant dud tonight, and the final score will be 9-2.
No. I can promise you that's not going to happen. There will be fireworks in this game. I this wouldn't shock me if this game is at least played in the high 30s, if not low 40s.
You also, too, have to look at one other element of this, and then we'll move on. But you also, too, have to look at kind of the new norm. We talk about this in college football all the time. It's like you judge your defense on a new norm because of offenses. Well, shouldn't you do that in the NFL, too? Because of these offenses like the Chiefs and Saints and Rams are thrown out there, and the Eagles last year, and like these are this is the best offense, the Patriots.
Yeah.
These are the best offenses we've seen in years, and so we have to kind of recalibrate how we view defense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you're only giving up 220 yards a week now.
No, but you've seen it even in recent years where you've seen elite defenses, but you also have to remember that if you're going to spend money in today's NFL, you know, it's an element of you kind of have to spend money on one or the other. I think the frustrating part with the Rams, I feel like the Rams did spend money on the defensive side of the ball.
But
they paid Donald, they paid Sue, they got Peters, they got Tlaib, and it hasn't quite paid the dividends I think they were wanting. But at the same time, they've lost one game. So I feel like maybe this will
That's
be
what
a,
I was gonna
a little
say.
Nitpicky here.
They have lost one football game. Who cares?
To the best team in football in the New Orleans Saints.
They're damn good.
Yeah.
All right, well, and that's what I told somebody earlier, too, is like I don't really want to be peaking right now.
No.
This is not the time to be peaking. No. The Saints right now are cruising.
Yeah.
I want to be the team that's building toward peaking in about, what, 4 weeks, 5 weeks?
Bears, maybe?
Yeah, could be headed that way. All right, more NFL later. Coming up next, Primetime Stockwatch on The Fan.
Market beat, but the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts are too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stockwatch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
All right, it's 424 on The Fan. I will tell you that we are up in the Caddy Shack at Big Al's in Beaverton for our Civil War party, which is, you know, it's heating up.
We've officially decided to call it the Mixer.
It's heating up.
Mainly because it's on the sign. And Promotions Goddess Alicia is not happy about it, but I'm going to what the sign says, and it says Civil War Mixer.
Mixer, yeah, there it is. Officially, okay. Yeah. See, I was looking for official confirmation.
Yeah. There's a source of contention between promotions and sales right now. Oh, nope, she's telling us.
She's our legal eagle.
Yeah.
Over there.
I think I'm being threatened right now. All right, I'm going
to
stop.
She's like the attorney that has to come and pee all over everything.
How about we just call it the party mixer, and then both people can be happy.
So we're upstairs, but I was just outside in the main gaming area there.
Yes.
Like, not gaming, like blackjack. I mean, gaming for the kids.
Well, or adults.
And they're playing Bananarama.
Really? Is that like
Cruel Summer?
Oh, I thought that was like Venus. Like,
great song.
I'm Your Venus?
No. Cruel Summer.
Oh.
One of the best 80s songs. One of the most undervalued and underrated 80s songs ever.
I'm not going to argue with that. Plus, Bananarama, I'm not going to lie, kind of hot.
All right, it is time now for our Stockwatch. Let's turn it over to Mike.
Third down at 5, almost 6 for Herbert. Snap and back to throw. A little bit of pressure, goes deep though. Right side, Mitchell, catch. 20, 10. Give me six, Dylan Mitchell. Ninth touchdown of the year, and Oregon's up 20-6.
Jerry Allen is heard on The Fan. Justin Herbert to Dylan Mitchell, touchdown connection in their win over Arizona State. Buy or sell, Dylan Mitchell will find himself drafted in the third round or higher when he does go to the draft.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think he can be. You said third round or higher?
Caught me off guard with that one.
Sure, I don't know right now if he has the size. He's a bit of a tweener. I don't think
the old tweener.
Well, I don't think he has the size and the physicality to play on the outside in the NFL.
Look at all these little guys in the league now, though.
Exactly, but I think he belongs more in the slot, and in Oregon he does play on the outside. I think there's going to be an adjustment there. But I think Dylan Mitchell is one of the better receivers in the country, and I think he's facing The other team's best corner. They're rolling coverage towards him, and you know he shows up week in and week out. I thought this weekend you saw two of the best in N'Keal Harry and Dillon Mitchell. I think Harry's going to be a first round receiver. He fits more of that prototypical mold. If there's one thing that keeps Mitchell out of the first round, I think maybe it's his size.
But yeah, first round, wow.
He's a top three round guy. I believe that.
Yeah, I would buy that too. He's a yak guy.
Yeah.
You know what yak is?
Yards
after
catch.
Aren't you a football guy?
Yards after catch.
You're supposed to know that. They're a football guy.
I'm busy Googling Bananarama, by the way. They still look pretty good.
Yeah.
They've held up.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
I'd go see him if they showed up.
Like them
concert.
And the Bengals, like in a oil wrestling match?
So, I buy that. He's a yards after catch threat, and that's big in the league now, right?
Yeah.
Just dump it out to those, get it out fast, get it to those guys on the edges, and let them run.
Yeah, Mitchell's an NFL talent.
The biggest thing I look at, though, for both teams, over 5 yards per carry giving up in the rush. So you got to stop the running game. And for the Rams, they're going to feed it to Gurley. They really are a run-first offense. You know, to Todd, and then the play action comes off of that. So Kansas City is going to have to stop it. And on the other side, same goes for the Rams. They gave up 275 yards rushing against the Seahawks a week ago. So as much as Andy Reid wants to run the gimmick offense and the RPOs and Patrick Mahomes and stretching it down the field, Kareem Hunt's his best friend, handing it off to him.
There is Jason Witten on tonight's Monday Night Football game, which looks quite good on paper. Buy or sell, the Chiefs have an easier road to the Super Bowl than the Rams.
Ooh. Ooh. Do you have a remaining schedule, or are you just talking AFC, NFC?
I was talking more generally, but I can give you a schedule if you'd like.
Well, I mean, both of them are going
to... They're both going to be top seeds.
Yeah, well...
I mean, close to it.
Chiefs play after this at Raiders, home versus Ravens and Chargers.
No.
Okay, I'll stop.
I think what you're saying, here's what he's saying. What he's saying is in
so
the
angry.
AFC, you've got the Steelers, you've got the Ravens, you certainly can't count out the Patriots, and you've got probably the Chargers and Texans, right?
I'm going to say Kansas City, to me, has an easier road.
Because in the NFC, the Rams got the Saints, the Vikings, the Bears, the Panthers.
I'm just going off of this. I'm going to say that, to me, the Rams have a tougher road simply because if we're going to say that these teams both end up being one seeds, one or two seeds, the idea that New Orleans could still be the one seed and having to go on the road and play New Orleans in the dome, that to me is very daunting. And I know they made the late comeback in it. I think New Orleans is a better team than the Rams are. And I think playing at home, if they have to go into the dome, I think is very difficult. Not that it's easy if the Chiefs have to go on the road or anything like that. I just don't think there's another team in the AFC that's as good as the Saints are. I think they're the best team. So I'm going Kansas City, easier road, because they're not going to have to deal with New Orleans.
So what he's saying is, which is easier, or what he's asking, Rams having to go back through New Orleans, but having already played them once.
Yeah.
They lost, but they've already been there. Or if you're the Chiefs, being able to play at home, but having to beat the Patriots or maybe the Steelers.
Well, and you look at the records, too. Kansas City, I think, has a better chance of being the one seed than the Rams do.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is the Saints are probably – that's what I was saying. The Rams are probably going to have to go back on the road because they've already lost to New Orleans. So that probably means the Saints got the one seed, barring something crazy happening, which again, Rams going on the road at New Orleans where they've already played once but lost – or Chiefs being at home but have to beat the big boys, the Patriots and the Steelers.
I think New Orleans is the tougher road. I think they're the most and best complete team in football right now.
And if I get to weigh in as well, I would agree. I think the Chiefs have a little bit of easier path.
We got to look at ourselves and see if we're, you know, we're just out of sync offensively, number one. And we got to get back to some continuity, whether, you know, it's more quick throws, screens, you know, whatever it is to kind of get things going. You'd love for your run game to be established and, you know, obviously playing teams like this, I mean, you get down so fast, so early that it's that you feel yourself having to maybe throw just a little bit more to get into the game. But we're going to take a look at it. We'll evaluate it, continue to work, and then get it fixed.
The team the Saints just embarrassed, the Philadelphia Eagles. There's their head coach, Doug Peterson. Buy or sell, Philly made a mistake not trading for a running back before the deadline.
Oh, I think they have much bigger problems than that. I mean, did they make a mistake?
They have absolutely no running game right now.
Yeah, but I don't think that that's going to be solved by a back that was available.
Wait a minute. They scored. How many did they score yesterday? 7?
Yeah.
I mean, they gave up 45.
Yeah, whatever it was. I mean, they just got housed. They have so many problems, and 48. It starts with injuries in the secondary, the Super Bowl hangover. That, I think, outside of the Todd Gurley's of the world, although Adrian Peterson's having a real nice season in Washington, I think we've seen that you don't need dominant backs in order to run the ball if you have a well-balanced team. The problem is you're not balanced right now. Philadelphia is clearly in the midst of a Super Bowl hangover. So, yeah, they could have used some help running the football with another back, but let's not act like they were going to go out and find someone outside of maybe Le'Veon Bell if you were willing to do that. They're just issues. Yes, there was a mistake not to go out and address this, but they have much bigger issues than a guy running the ball.
I, too, would sell that. I would say that it seems like from the outside looking in that the Eagles, one, had some chemistry issues coming back, and maybe there was a hangover issue from the Super Bowl, but it sounds like Peterson and that whole thing is not, I don't know, is not jiving with the players this year for whatever reason. And then on top of that, then you have some key guys go down, particularly, like you said, in the secondary. And then it's just you start getting torched.
Floodgates
and
open.
Yeah, the floodgates open because guys lay down on you. And I think that appears what has happened to the Eagles. It looked like the Eagles' back was broken when they lost to the Cowboys, which is why, I mean, the Saints, I mean, they were all the way up to, what, like a 10 or 11-point favorite over the Eagles because it was the spot where Philly was like, yeah, dude, Philly's not bowing up. They're laying down.
And here's the thing. In this crappy division, if Philadelphia would just pull their head out, you can win this. Anyone can win this division right now. Technically, the Giants
are
still
crazy?
In it.
It's crazy that the Cowboys, now that Alex Smith is dead,
yes,
the Cowboys are probably going to win that division.
Certainly looks
if they win on Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for first place. And go back a couple weeks, and who would have said that about the damn Cowboys?
You got to love the league, man.
No, I don't think they play well at all. Like, we dominated the game. Turnovers, we gave them some points. That's what happened. They suck.
Keenan Allen says the Broncos suck and didn't deserve to win the game yesterday. Buy or sell, the Chargers are going to find a way to mess this good season up.
I swear to God, every time you think that you can trust the Chargers, they remind you that they're the Chargers. Like, that's old school Charger football. Blowing leads, bad plays, lack of kicking game. So no,
they had like eight penalties midway through the second quarter yesterday.
I'm going to view this as a abnormality. It'll be an outlier. I'll still say that the Chargers are good. They won't screw this up. And that was just a blip on the radar. I want to believe that the Chargers have gotten past the old Charger ways. But now that I've said that, they'll find new and creative ways to lose in the coming weeks.
Hey, I want to know. Okay, well, let me answer that and say that, no, they're going to screw this up because, well, Chargers.
Chargers.
Mike, I would like your opinion on the Broncos because I know you're a Broncos fan.
Don't try to tell me that the Broncos are good.
Well, I want his opinion.
Don't.
I didn't ask you. I'm asking him because if the guy makes a kick, whoever their kicker is now.
Brandon McManus, same guy.
Yeah, they beat Houston, right?
Yep.
If he makes that kick. And then they would have beaten Houston and the Chargers in back-to-back weeks. And their three of their five losses would be two to the Chiefs and one to the Rams, all by 7 or less. On Sports Talk.
To answer your question, Rob, the Broncos are not good. And don't pretend like they are. Their defense is still really good, but Case Keenum is nowhere near what we thought he would be from the Vikings. And Philip Lindsay is great and exciting at running back, but they got rid of Demaryius Thomas. Now their wide receiver core is literally Emmanuel Sanders and Emmanuel Sanders. They're not very good. They can keep in games because their defense is good. That's why those games against the Rams and Chiefs were close, but no, they're not a good team.
Well, on the plus side, like, Case Keenum isn't very good, but neither is Kirk Cousins, who replaced him. So at least you didn't pay him $100 million in guaranteed money to suck.
That is true. Also, Vance Joseph, not a good head coach, and probably not long for Denver if this keeps going.
Interesting. So in other words, if they had a better coach, they would be better this year?
I think so.
With Case Keenum?
Vance Joseph was horrific last year and has been a little bit better this year, but still makes a lot of mistakes. It's not pretty.
Come on, Elway. All right, are we done here? Hello?
Yes, we're done.
Waiting for Mike. Oh, there you go.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
I can't answer that question. You have to go to the voice of God on the other end.
All right, that is our primetime stock watch each Monday.
It's brought to you
by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, and child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. In the news, abbreviated edition coming up next. Hashtag him too. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't.
I'm going to tell you.
It's going to be stupid. I know it.
That's coming up next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. It is 4:43 out of Big Al's Beaverton, where people are eating nachos, drinking beer, and winning T-shirts.
Yes, you were working.
Life is good.
You were working the mic.
Life is good.
Giving things away.
So let's get right to in the news. It is November 19th, 2018. It is time for the news. I'm your noted newsman. It is National Play Monopoly Day.
I also thought it was National Toilet Day.
Yes, it is. It's World Toilet Day.
Oh, it's World Toilet Day.
Yes, World Toilet Day, National Play Monopoly Day, and then also National Have a Bad Day Day.
Oh, well, I'm not having a bad day.
Well, do you know what that comes from? Like, why would there be a national Have a Bad Day Day?
I don't know.
It's because people get so tired of hearing Have a Good Day,
yeah,
that they started a day to have people say, hey, have a bad day.
Like a break a leg sort of thing?
I don't think so. Oh. I think it's actually worse than that.
Or is it maybe because today is National Play Monopoly Day, and when you play Monopoly, you have a bad day because the game takes 9 effing hours? No one ever ends up winning, and we just quit and tip the board over? Like, no one has ever had fun playing Monopoly in the history of Monopoly.
I enjoy Monopoly, but I am with you on it dragging out.
Yes.
A bit.
Well, Monopoly's fun. Like, everyone's like, hey, you want to play Monopoly? The thing is, you haven't played it in so long, you forget how bad it sucks. And the first half hour is fun, and then it just turns into a quagmire where you want to land on Boardwalk because you want to go bankrupt and be done with the game.
Okay, hashtag him too. What do you suppose that means?
I'm guessing this is going to be something ridiculous where somehow, like, white privileged men find the need to bitch about something. So we're going to come up with, we're the next oppressed group.
You're close.
Yeah.
Hashtag him too is a movement that came as part of the backlash to the hashtag me too movement.
Oh, yes, the backlash where women didn't want to be sexually assaulted and forced to, I don't know, sell their bodies in order to move up in companies. Because that's, yeah, what a backlash. Yeah. How dare they?
A U.S. mother tweeted about her son with his hashtag. She claimed that her son, Peter Hansen, is afraid to go on dates because of false rape allegations. Hansen himself disavowed his mother's tweet, saying that he does not avoid dating for fear of being falsely accused of sexual misconduct.
Something tells me he avoids dating because the opposite sex avoids him. It's funny how that works.
Since the hashtag him too went viral on Twitter, there has been a widespread discussion about the movement and allegations worldwide caused by the Me Too movement. And of course, that hits Portland over the weekend. We had a clash of the Me Tooers versus the him Tooers.
Oh.
That led to 6 arrests.
Is this they scheduled the protest, right? Like opposite one another?
That's right.
Because I saw that there was 2 protests scheduled to go head-to-head, and I didn't read any further because I didn't care after that.
6 arrests.
So really, that's a thing now?
It is. It is a thing.
We as men are complaining about that we can no longer sexually harass women. That's really
what
we're...
Well, it was started by a mother.
Yes, because her little Johnny can't find dates. And, yeah.
So, do you... Okay, so guess... Well, I think you already know this, actually, but... Because we've talked about this before. But let's get the truth out there. What percentage of sexual assault allegations are proven false?
I'm guessing that number is ridiculously low.
It is low. It's between 2 and 10%. Now, that does not include unsubstantiated accusations, right? Okay, so you have to look at, a lot of these fall into the category of, you can't prove it either way.
Yes.
Right? Those are not included in this study, but this is a study recently that said that 2 to 10% of these accusations are proven. You can prove it.
Yeah.
That they are fake. So it's not many.
No. And I know it happens. I mean, I there's someone I know that
Duke
that,
Lacrosse.
Yes. And that's, you know, it's egregious, but I swear this whole backlash thing where we're like, well, you can't even compliment a woman anymore. It's like ridiculous. I can't even go up to someone and grab her ass anymore without her being offended by it. It's not that hard to not get accused of sexual assault. I'm 39, almost 40 years old. I've never been accused of sexual assault, mainly because I don't sexually assault people. It's not that hard. It's just not that hard not to be a creep. I'm sorry. Yes, for those people that do get falsely accused, and here come the text against me, Suk, you sound like a woman. Where's your man card? If that's having a man card, I'll gladly give mine back. Don't be a creep. If she says she's not interested, walk away. If you have subordinates underneath you, don't walk out of your private bathroom naked and be like, oh, I didn't know you were here. Don't just whip it out if it hasn't been asked to. It just shouldn't be that hard. It amazes me that we have to have the hashtag MeToo or the HimToo movement. It just, it stuns me.
Well, six were arrested. It was a face-off of epic proportions in Portland over the weekend. Five were charged with interfering with the peace officer, including one who was facing a disorderly conduct charge. And then a sixth person got charged with harassment.
Really? There was harassment at a sexual...
How about that?
Like a sexual assault awareness protest?
That's ballsy,
yeah.
But true.
The universe intersecting with one another.
All right, coming up next, how about Boeing? Have you been reading about Boeing?
No.
Let's talk about Boeing.
What's Boeing up to?
Well, Boeing, you know, they had the jetliner with that Lion Air. Remember the Lion Air?
Oh, yeah, the Indonesian one, right, that went down?
That was a new Boeing jet.
Yeah, it was like one of their new streamlined jets that was supposed to be like a I don't know. It was the first one of its kind that went down.
Yeah. So
because planes aren't supposed to crash.
No. Holy crap what Boeing is saying about that.
Oh, boy. I have not seen
They're
this.
The makers of the
yes.
plane that went down.
Yeah.
And we'll tell you what they are saying.
Oh, boy.
Coming up next.
We point some fingers and my guess is it's not at Boeing.
449 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 454 on the Fan. We're out here at Big Al's in Beaverton for our Civil War mixer where Will Darkins is on the mic right now.
Will Darkins is lighting this place on fire right now.
You know, the energy is low early. This is common.
Yes, but Will's picking it up. I'm telling you. The people
He's
are
trying.
The people are abuzz with Will's energy.
Hey, there's that guy. I recognize that
hey,
guy.
There's that guy. That's you.
But
I don't know who you are, but that's you.
You know, people start drinking and then, yeah. you know, things
no, the,
get a little
the
wild.
The bar just opened. So,
yeah,
it's,
so it's early.
It's early. In
it's
the
early.
Evening.
We're hoping for a little more energy out of the Ducks and Beaver fans who are here as the night progresses. But Will's trying. I mean, he's – God bless that guy.
Yes. He's giving it the old Beaver try.
The only other story I have for you today, because we are short on time, is the Wall Street Journal has a piece on that Lion Air crash where it was a brand-new Boeing 737 MAX 8.
Yeah, it was like one
airplane.
Of their, it was one of their new workhorse airplanes that they had rolled out a couple years back, and this was going to be a big seller for them.
And it went down.
Yeah. No one knows why right now, right?
It had only flown a handful of hours, like 700 or 800 hours.
Yeah.
Which is indeed a handful. And Boeing has now come forward in the Wall Street Journal and said the following about their plane going down so early on in its life. They said, Boeing failed to warn the airline industry about a potentially dangerous feature in its new flight control system that's suspected to have played a role in the fatal Lion Air crash in Indonesia last month.
Oh, no.
Yeah, not good.
That's not good.
The flight control feature is the automated stall prevention system found on the Boeing 737 MAX 8 and MAX 9 models, which is intended to help pilots avoid raising a plane's nose too high.
Okay.
So the potential fault in the system is that it can push the plane's nose down unexpectedly and so strongly that pilots can't pull it back up even when they're flying manually. Boeing knew this and did not disclose it.
Ooh. Yeah.
Could it get any worse than that?
That's...
Dude, that's unbelievable.
That is... stunning. And by the way, the flight in Indonesia, they realized there was a problem. The pilot tried to correct it. The pilot sent out like a distress call and tried to turn around when it went down. Boy, If that turns out to be the cause of the crash, what happens to Boeing?
Boy, I don't know, man. That's really bad.
I mean, besides the fact that they're going to get sued for a gajillion dollars, is there like criminal things that can be pursued at that point? I mean, a couple hundred people died, right?
Well, and you gotta wonder about the other airlines, the other new MAX 8s and 9s that are out there. I'm not getting on one of those.
No.
Are you flying next week? Are you flying for the holidays? Do you know what type of aircraft you're flying?
Before you book that flight on Orbitz, you're looking in there. You're like, hey, what kind of
dude? That's crazy. Although, that is crazy.
What kind of deal do you get though? All of a sudden, they slash off like $54 off your flight. People are like, I'll be all right.
So you'd go on one of these if it meant $5 tickets?
What if it's free drinks? What if you get some drink coupons?
What if they charge you $5 for the seat and free drinks? You hopping on that plane?
I think a lot of people are hopping on that plane. You just give the pilot one of these. Hey, can you make sure that whole stall thing is figured out? I bet you there's a lot of people, honestly, after that article that are looking into what plane they're flying on. And I've never, have you ever once given any thought to what kind of airplane you're getting on?
No, as a matter of, well, actually I have, because sometimes you get on the planes where they're really old.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, I probably rode this as a two-year-old.
Yeah, you look at the, you can see like the rivets or like, you're like, yeah.
You can see the marks from the smoke that used to be in it, from people smoking cigarettes on it. And you're like, my God, did they not make new planes? But then it's really cool when you get on a new plane, right? Like you see the new ones and they have, it makes it feel bigger.
Yes, and you feel like there's nothing. So whoever was on that flight probably got on it was like, hey,
they're cocky.
They've got the USB plugins. You can charge your phone. You're thinking everything's great. It's got anti-stall technology. And next thing you know, taking a dip into the Potomac.
This plane ain't going down.
No, jeez.
That's a bad deal. That article was in the Wall Street Journal.
That's terrifying.
All right, that's in the news for November 19th. Coming up next, we got the Hot 5 at 5. And in the Hot 5 at 5, we have a lot to tell you about, including the Redskins' new quarterback.
Yeah, not Colin Kaepernick.
The Gardner Minshew Heisman odds. We have, the Civil War and Apple Cup lines around. That will be included. What else do we have?
Suddenly a lot to get to.
Big Monday Night Football game.
Your first place, Portland Trail Blazers.
I buried the lead. You know, the Mariners made a trade today.
Yes.
And a big one.
And I think it's the first of many to come.
So that'll be coming up next on The Fan.